Thanks, Paxton. I forgot to grab it, but for a good chunk of the past month, in the thrift store, we've had like an Academy Award-looking thing for the greatest grandparent waiting to be sold. Which reminds me, has anyone gotten like first place or an award for something? How'd it feel?
Felt really good.
Yeah. Even just recognition usually feels pretty good, right? And it's interesting because like there's also been times when like I got recognized, I got an award at my seminary for my work in my field placement. And it felt weird to get that award because so many people were like praising the work that I was doing just because I was a white guy that decided to go serve at a historically black congregation. Like just the fact that I chose to be cross-racial in the work, like that was kind of like the praise came from. So when I got the award, I was like, well, thanks. Like, I guess I'll wear the cord. Like it felt weird, right? So like sometimes we get recognized for things and we're like, I thought I was just doing the bare minimum. And then you realize the bare minimum is actually a lot lower than you really thought. And other times we get awards because we finally do the things. I get like the little medal every time we run a race. And certainly I'm not a placing racer. Arlene was telling me this week that FDA's 5K happened and like the first place winner was running like a 5 minute and 20 some second mile. Surely not. And the gentleman was, I think you were saying probably older than me? Yeah, the gentleman who won was older than me. So like, it's weird for me to be like, surely not. But then also like, it is possible. I just choose to not run that race, right? And so in our text today, Paul tells us that it's even better to help other people win. So a reading from the Kids Stuff Bulletin on the Christ hymn. Paul's rejoicing letter to the Philippians also contains a beautiful poem called the Christ hymn. In it, Paul tells his friends that they should love one another and not think of themselves as better than others. He wrote, "Even Jesus, who was equal to God, didn't act like he was better than everyone else. He was born as a poor human, served others, and even died for us. Because of that, God gave him the highest and best name of all so that everyone who hears it would worship him. He reminded his friends that God lived in them and would help them do the things God called them to do, love and serve God and others." What would it be like to be the absolute best at something, like winning every race? Joyous, boring, ooh, interesting. Exhausting.
Impossible.
Monotonous, what was that?
Impossible.
Impossible. Because I even, if you're a runner in Baltimore, you know this. There's this one lady who's always like first place for like every race around here. And I know her because at the Celtic Solstice 5 miler that we run every December, I see her coming around the tail end as I'm passing like the mile and a half mark because it's like more one of those zigzaggy ones, right? And sometimes I'll run into her because she's actually from Columbia, so I'll run into her when we're not literally run into her, but be ran past by her, regardless of what direction she's coming from, she will whiz past me on the trails when we're training in Columbia. And so, yeah, sometimes I wonder what it's like, but I see like the dedication she has because I get to see her practice, right? She's there, and she's probably towards the end of her run when I'm beginning a run, and we start like at 7:30 in the summers, and so I'm like, this is insane that she's almost done already. Has the sun been up yet? I don't understand this. So we see that like these models of living feel like unattainable and even monotonous to us at times. What would you think it would be like to be a king or a queen?
Scary.
Scary? Oh, some of us just don't want responsibility. What about to be like Jesus, the ruler of all creation? That is a lot of responsibility. Or even a lot of pressure, yeah. What do we think it would be like to be that powerful or important?
Overwhelming.
How do you think you would act toward other people?
Hopefully in a kind and benevolent way, but power brings other behaviors.
Hopefully in a kind or benevolent way, but power brings other behaviors. Yeah. I'm even thinking of like how hard it is when I was teaching, when I had 150 students, right? To be emotionally present to all 150 students. There were plenty of days where they caught me not on good days. Or just good, like bad moments, because I'm just tired. You're like, please get out of my face for 5 minutes. Which feels like that's probably a relatable sentence for anyone who has children. Luckily, our nieces and nephews, we love them, and we get to hang out with them for whole weekends at a time. And send them back. Yeah. And luckily, they do like a nice, big, flashy, evangelical megachurch back at home, so like it isn't like they're tuning in now to hear that, so we're fine. So, with all of this, like, understanding what it means to hold and wield this much power, how did Jesus act? What were some of the things that he did? He washed his disciples' feet. Which, Doug says that because that came up in Bible study tonight, because if you're feeling extra nerdy, reread John chapter 13 and the way the narrator tells the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet alongside the Christ hymn, and you'll see a parallel theological story happening there. Even taking the form of a slave literally by taking off of his robe and enthralling himself just like a slave. It's cool. But what are some of the other things that Jesus did?
Healed people.
Fed people. Just other ways of just serving people, right? He had emotions too. Yes, he did have bad moments. He took all of his anger out on a whole little fig tree at least once, and then like flipped tables at least once, but the Gospels don't agree whether it happened towards the beginning of his ministry or what got him killed, but I wonder if it happened multiple times. It's just the last time is the time that got him killed. And the first, but could you imagine like if Jesus did this multiple times and you see Jesus come back and they're like, oh, it's that guy. Start packing things up. So Jesus was all about helping others. He didn't brag about himself. He was humble. And to be humble isn't to like deny who you are, but just to not see yourself as better or worse than anyone. This isn't a way of like losing your own worth in God's eyes, but living your worth in God's eyes and seeing the worth of all other people that you interact with. So even though Jesus was God and the King of all, he loved and served others. What are some of the ways that we can put other people first? Hold the door.
Serve them.
Listen to them. Serve them. Pull a chair out for them. Let them in front of you in line. If you want to see someone like absolutely lose their mind, be standing in line with just an armful of things at Aldi, and then a distressed person with a full cart show up and be like, just go on ahead. Because that's not the direction it ever happens, right? You might save the best seat for someone else. It's really funny because since the questions sometimes are, well, they're coming from things that are designed for children's messages. One of the suggestions is saving the biggest slice of pizza for someone else. Which, like, if you think about being under the age of 18, that's a big deal, right?
Giving someone your pepperoni.
giving someone your pepperoni, especially if you like pepperoni, right? Or even just like making sure that we're complimenting people just because, right? So every time we think about others first instead of ourselves, we are living in the example of Jesus. We are embodying the way of Christ in our world. And there is no better way to live. So let us pray. God, so often in our world, we allow external information to pump us up and make us think highly of ourselves and lesser of others. Or we let that information tear us down and destroy our understanding of your love for us. May your Spirit work through us in order to help us be more humble in our world. Because the more we live as you designed us and embody your ways, the more delight you find in us, the more joy we find in our world, and the more love abundant that gets to roam free throughout our society. So may your Spirit just lead us in the right directions throughout our time together. Amen. So when we do our annual planning, and the mission team is like, let's have a mission Sunday this day, I'm like, oh, sure, sounds great. Today, it was a great weekend because I was at Peninsula Delaware Conference this past week, and actually that's how I got my new pectoral cross, which is a smaller recreation of our new processional cross for our Episcopal area, which represents the Baltimore, Washington, and Peninsula Delaware conferences as two different types of metal, and then held together with another type of metal to represent the waters of our baptism. And so, like, I had a great week, and I'm glad I didn't have to write a sermon. And then there are times when I'm just kind of like, whatever the scripture is, we'll figure it out. Who cares? Right? I don't have to preach on everything. I'm here for a while. It's fine. Took me a year to figure that out. But what I find so beautiful about today is not only is today United Methodist Heritage Sunday, where we're recognizing and celebrating the 70th anniversary of the ordination of women in our tradition, but we are joined by one of my favorite women in ministry in this area, who I am absolutely overwhelmed with joy to have present with us today, because Reverend Susan Ballinger is the executive director of ACTC, and I also think that their work is such a great way of modeling how the simple things of taking care of people is living out this Christ hymn. And so the connection is kind of just perfect, and not even like a sermon is needed, but I know that even in what you will share about ACTC's work, it will bring a good news to our spirits and to our souls. And so thank you for being here with us. And so I will just turn it over to you. I realize I didn't ask if you wanted like a handheld mic or if you just wanted to use the pulpit or lectern or whatever you want to do.
I'm going to see if I move this down. Can you all hear me? So I'm just trying to figure out. Oh, I can see. Never mind. I can see it from up there. Okay.
There's also one here.
Okay. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure I could see what you all were seeing. Okay. Thank you so much for that kind introduction. Good morning. It is wonderful to be here with you all this morning. I've been at ACTC now just a little over a year, and I have to say one of my favorite things is being able to visit our ACTC congregations, our ACTC supporting churches to get to worship with you, like Arnolia. So thank you, thank you, thank you for inviting me this morning. Christina, for all the work you've done, for Craig, everybody who has helped, and for you all for greeting me so warmly. So we have a new logo that you can see up there that we're very excited about. Next slide, please. All right. So when I was in seminary, one of our guest speakers in a class that I had, I can't remember exactly what class it was, but I remember the speaker. She was from the University of Chicago, and she was an iconographer. So I didn't know what an iconographer was at the time, but she was somebody who studied images, and specifically religious images, and how they help shape and nurture our spirituality, our prayer life, the way we live in the world. And one of the things that she said has really stayed with me. She said, our image of God, or images of God, are more important than any ideas we have about God. And I was really struck by that, but she said, you know, we have these pictures of God, we have these pictures of spirituality, of what prayer is like, that we carry around with us, and they really do shape us in a way that is quite profound. So ever since then, I have been on the lookout for good images. And I recently saw this image a few months ago of these towering trees in a forest. Does anybody know what kind of tree? Sequoias, yes. Most people say redwoods, but sequoias, that is exactly right. Well, and obviously you can see the little person. I don't know whether that's an adult or a child, but I mean, either way, they're just completely dwarfed by the sequoias. Well, the caption that went with the photo was written by an engineer who said, most people think sequoias survive because they're massive. But that's not even close to the real reason. If you've ever had the privilege standing beside one of these giants, you'll find it hard not to think of resilience. Because these trees can live through droughts, fires, storms, and climate shifts that would kill almost anything else. But this is the amazing thing. The tallest tree in the world has roots that only go 6 to 12 feet deep. That should be impossible. A 300-foot tree with shallow roots makes no sense from an engineering perspective. But sequoias don't survive alone. Their root systems spread 50 to 80 feet wide, and they interweave with every other sequoia around them. And in that way, they share nutrients and water and structural support. So when storms come in, they support each other. The forest is the system, not the individual trees. And the most resilient systems in nature are interconnected. So when I saw this image of the sequoias and thinking about this root system that I was reading about, it reminds me of ACTC. Because when the Assistant Center of Towson Churches was founded 40 years ago, it was because congregations were seeing needs in their neighborhood, among their neighbors, in their communities. And so they came together. There was about a dozen churches at the time who came together to figure out how they could connect with each other to provide a safer and more stable ecosystem for the people in their neighborhoods. And the people, especially those who were in need and who were vulnerable. So during these past 40 years, ACTC, like these Sequoias, has relied on the sharing of resources to weather all the different storms. And today, as we face economic instability, job losses, climate crises, a polarized nation, we still need this system of mutual support. We need it more than ever. And it's this undergirding strength of ACTC with all of our churches and God's faithful provision and guidance that gives us the courage and the vision to embrace new things. So we've got a lot of new things going on in addition to the new logo. So next slide. Whoops. Is there a picture of a building? Okay. Well, not sure why. Sometimes this happens. If you drive by the corner of Bosley Avenue and Allegheny at 301 Allegheny Avenue, there is a church building. Has anybody seen it? Yes, a few of you have. So it was a Methodist church a long time ago. Then it was the Towson Women's Club. And most recently, it was a State Farm insurance office. Some of you may have been there before. About a year ago, ACTC purchased that building. And ACTC still has spaces that we borrow from our churches. But we needed a spot that would allow us to move into a new vision. So ACTC has partially moved to this location, and we're just about a block away. I walk back and forth several times a day from the current center at 116 West Pennsylvania. So I'll just say a little bit since we're on this slide. What does ACTC provide? We provide groceries every 2 weeks. We're open 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Monday through Friday, and Wednesdays 4 to 7 p.m. We serve a 21 zip code area, and you may know that Baltimore County's population has grown. So has the need in Baltimore County. So we can see anywhere from 22 to close to 50 grocery clients every day. We provide rental assistance to help people avoid eviction. We provide help with utility bills so people don't get their electricity cut off. We provide weekday lunches for people experiencing homelessness. And we're just kind of bursting at the gills where we are. We also provide emergency shelter on a case-by-case basis. We recently provided hotel stay for a couple that was in between. They were working with Catholic Charities to get a place, a permanent place, but they needed a place because one of them was undergoing dialysis treatment. They needed shelter, and so we're able to provide shelter for them to get them through this in-between stage. We work with the Baltimore County Detention Center for when people are being released, and most of them are going to a different kind of residential program, and so we provide kind of a starter kit of clean new linens, groceries, charm cards for transportation, gift cards, toiletries, anything that we can provide them to help give them a fresh start. This is the new location. So that is facing Allegheny, and those steps up there will go to the second floor. All right, next slide. Okay, so this says our Future Choice Pantry. We are very excited to open a Choice Pantry where volunteers and clients can interact more closely, We can build better relationships with our clients, and we hope serve our clients more effectively. Next slide. We have a break room and a volunteer hub. Has anybody, I know Doug has been inside 116 West Pennsylvania. Have you been inside? Has anybody else been inside? How big is that space, Doug?
At 116?
Yes.
I would guess it to be about 700 square feet.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is usually pretty packed, isn't it?
Very packed.
Yes. So there's no room right now for our volunteers to even set down a cup of coffee, barely. There's a little set of lockers for people to put their belongings, but we are very excited to be able to have a place in that upstairs where our volunteers can have a cup of coffee, maybe have a meeting, collaborate with one another, and maybe even bring their lunch. We have volunteers who work both shifts, and so we're very excited to offer that. Next slide. Our financial assistance office. So this picture shows an empty office, but this space is buzzing. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we have dedicated volunteers who are on the phones, on the computers. They're reviewing applications. They are talking to neighbors who need help with rent, who need help with utility assistance or other needs. They are talking to landlords. They are partnering with other agencies to see if we can get somebody to a zero balance. That's always our goal. Always our goal is to get somebody to a zero balance so that they can have a more sustainable future. And we have learned through the years before I came on that that's the best way to be good stewards of our funds. And we're able to do that. So let's see. We receive at least 100 applications. That's a really low count per month. And several of those are federal workers recently who are struggling to make ends meet. Many of them have reached the end of their savings. Even if they have found a job, most of those are not paying them benefits. And so we're working to try and help that relatively new group of people who most of them have never had to apply for any kind of assistance before, but our volunteers are wonderful, empathetic, compassionate, and really do amazing, amazing work. In 2025, ACTC provided almost $190,000 in financial assistance for 220 people. Next slide. We have this open office space with flexible workstations. We really didn't purchase anything. For those cubicles you see are from the insurance agency that was there before. The conference furniture a volunteer years ago gave to ACTC, but we've been so fortunate to be able to have people who are really good planners and help us situate everything really well. But we have monthly food operations meetings in this space, our board of directors meets here, and we have staff meetings. Next slide. All right, so more about the Choice Pantry. This is a new model of service for us. Right now, when people come to the pantry, they come anytime during those hours. They may have to wait in line outside. They are given a choice of usually whatever the meat or the meat alternative is that day. So we usually have a couple of choices of meat, ground beef, chicken, catfish is usually seafood we have, and then we have plant-based. But they will get that choice. But then everything else is pre-packed bags. And then we have a bag of fresh food that we may say, do you like avocados? Could you use some kohlrabi during the growing season? So we try and offer as much choice as we can, and then miscellaneous items. But the great thing about this is we're gonna have a space where people can come in and shop for their groceries. They will come in and they will check in, they will have an appointment. We're going to an appointment-based system because we think it will have even more dignity. We toured a food pantry not too far away from us, where when people check in, they get like a coaster, like you get when you go to a restaurant that lights up, but they could still wait 4 to 6 hours to be able to come in and shop, and they have to stay in the vicinity. And so we are very hopeful that having an appointment-based system that they can do on their phone, and we will help them too. We'll need volunteers to help call people, but that they will have a dedicated time. We'll only have a few shoppers at a time, and we'll have volunteers on hand to assist them because our parking is also limited. But we know that that will offer them more options of what they can choose for themselves. We have some clients who come and say, I just want fresh food. And we accommodate them now, but now they'll be able to decide, I want mostly fresh food, but then I want maybe a couple of cans of black beans or something, or maybe some of the miscellaneous items that we have on hand. So we also think that that will have more dignity. We also know it will lead to less waste. Because right now, when we give them pre-packed bags, we don't really have the ability to take it back and absorb it into the inventory. And so we just ask them to pass it along if it's something they can't use. So we're really, really hopeful that this will also mean less waste. Next slide. So, what isn't new? Oh, you know what, you don't have to go back a slide, but I do want to say something else. Anyone who comes without a reservation will be given the pre-packed bags that we have on hand and a bag of fresh food, but we will help them right then and there make a reservation for 2 weeks out. And we'll have volunteers on hand who will be able to do that. And we're definitely planning for that. Since January, we've seen about a 12 to 15% increase in grocery clients. We're grateful that people are finding us and that we have food to share. Last fall, Calvary Baptist, which is, we rent our space from, and we're right next to them, they needed to do an exterior painting project that required us to shut down one of our service windows. And so at that point, we pivoted and we began to partner more closely with Prologue, which is the homeless outreach center. It's just on Baltimore Avenue. If you're going down Baltimore Avenue and you cross Allegheny, it's right there on the right before you get to Immaculate Conception. But they have a lot of services, but they did not have any food. But they have a beautiful indoor space, and so we began this partnership with Prologue so that we could continue to provide lunches daily during that painting project that was going on. But after close evaluation, we decided to continue doing that every day. So every day, volunteers deliver sandwiches, salads, water, fresh fruit, and other snack food to Prologue. Just about a block away, and there our clients, our neighbors who are experiencing homelessness have an indoor space they can reheat something that needs to be reheated. They can have their lunch at a table or outside in an eating area. They can do their laundry. They can take a shower. They can have appointments with Healthcare for the Homeless, and they can meet outreach workers to see what other resources they might be available for. We have had a client who has been coming to ACTC probably at least 20 years and has never, ever been any kind of, how do I want to say this? There were several volunteers who tried to work with them to get them in the system to receive housing. And that has never happened before for various reasons. And recently, and this person has never gone to Prologue. Recently, they went to Prologue to get their mail, and one of the outreach workers was having a conversation and said, you know, if I could enter you into our database, you would be prioritized for housing very quickly. And now they're in the database. And so our hope is that they will qualify for housing and that they will follow through. Our volunteers have gotten very close with this individual, and I believe that it was seeds planted along the way, but we are just celebrating that we are one step closer. So we're really grateful for that partnership. What isn't new? The significance of our volunteers. Next slide. Does anybody see a familiar face here? Maybe? Yes. This was just the other day. I sneaked that picture in, didn't I, Doug? There's just no way to emphasize how much our volunteers mean to us. Anyone want to guess how many volunteers ACTC had in April, just this past month? Any guesses? Oh, 15,000, wow. No.
65.
No? 5,000? Yeah, well, you're the closest. 251. 251 volunteers last month, and they served 1,132.5 hours. They sign in, they sign out, and we have a volunteer who calculates that. Having the amount of food we need on hand is largely due to our network of volunteers. We just couldn't do it without them. We have volunteers who pick up food almost daily from our retail partners, Target and Towson, Fresh Market, Sprouts, Growls. They deliver them to the current center where other volunteers sort and weigh and distribute it. We have volunteers who take food and water to Prologue to serve our neighbors experiencing homelessness. Doug, I understand you're over there with one of our other churches, another church member.
Yes.
And what are you all doing?
We're serving soup once a week. We alternate weeks from Mount Calvary and Magnolia.
Yeah, it's wonderful. So creative, so helpful. I love the partnering together, and it's just amazing. Other volunteers pick up and receive deliveries directly from the Maryland Food Bank each month, and then two times a month, shelf-stable food is packed at the warehouse by volunteers and delivered. We have volunteers who show up to assemble shelves or produce tables. Didn't you put together produce tables?
Yes.
Yes. And it's not just Doug. I mean, they're just there. Whatever the task is, they show up with enthusiasm and joy. Next slide. So these are some volunteers at our Thanksgiving giveaway that happens at Trinity Episcopal each year. Has anybody ever volunteered with that? Yes? Yeah, it's a big thing. So next slide. Here's some volunteers cleaning in the break room when we first moved in. And next slide. You all might recognize that place. Another thing that isn't new is the support of ACTC's congregations. I have been amazed and so grateful and heartened by the big tent of congregations collaborating through ACTC to serve our neighbors and the most vulnerable among us. ACTC churches undergird and support us by sending us volunteers, promoting and communicating what ACTC does, and through your gifts that keep things humming day to day. I'm such an admirer of your thrift store and how beautifully, it shows God's gentle love and care for our planet and our neighbors. And we're just so grateful. And we look forward to welcoming you to ACTC, to our new space, and finding even more ways to serve together. If you're interested in volunteering, afterward, I do have a page that has volunteer opportunities. Next slide. But you can also go to our website, and there's a place up at the top that says volunteer. So there's a form to fill out. You can just put when you're available and what you're interested in, and probably a volunteer will call you. and talk to you, and we will find a place for you. Thank you again for having me today. I'm so grateful to Arnolia for who you are in our world and in our community and the ways that you help support ACTC.